I'm Mike Morgan, and in our fourth segment here, we're going to talk about some friends that you may see in your airspace. When the FAA was funded after many continuing resolutions in February of this year, part of the funding resolution mandated the FAA to prepare the way for unmanned aerial vehicles in civil airspace. And it put a 180-day mandate in there for a plan to be devised. So that 180 days is coming up in August. So first, I'm finding that some pilots don't know that that's going to happen and that it's part of the FAA funding mandate. And two, I'm interested in you around the table on whether you think that 180-day mandate is going to be met. Robert Goyer with Flying, Tom Haynes from AOPA, and Mac McClellan from EAA are my guests. So let's go to the top. Do you still find a lot of people not aware that this is going to happen?
Yeah, absolutely. And we've written about it, and to the point that I think our readers were very surprised at the extremely aggressive timetable that Congress set for the integration of drones.
Why is this in there?
I mean, I could speculate on it. I don't know.
It's really pretty clear that manufacturers of drones pressured them.
Who are extremely powerful,
yeah,
obviously.
It's jobs. It's all the things, new technology. And, of course, there's a lot of public and private agencies that have uses for drones.
So rattle off a few of the commercial applications.
Well, all kinds of surveillance.
That we can feel good about.
You know, that qualifier? Yeah. I'm not sure.
It cuts the number down greatly.
But I wrote a blog about drones a couple months ago, shortly after the legislation or the refunding of the FAA. I was surprised because my concern was entirely as a pilot, avoiding them, we're going to share airspace, that sort of thing. Nearly every comment was from a privacy advocate, I'll call them, and it was a issue that unites the far left and the far right, that both fear being spied on. So if there's a concern among the people that read my blog, it wasn't about running into one of these things with their airplane. It was that, crazy, like they'll be looking in my bedroom window and I think, whoa, is there something that great going on? Or, be spying on my group. It's an interesting concern, even among pilots, beyond the airspace issues.
Yeah, and we had the same kind of response from our readership as well. Civil libertarians are folks who are very concerned about it. And they seem to not really grasp that there are some fundamental problems with this legislation. First of all, I spoke with Interim Administrator Michael Huerta yesterday about this very topic. And he said, first of all, that he knows that the timetable for adoption of drones into the national airspace system is very aggressive. And at the same time, he says that the FAA's concern is safety and safety first, and that he is simply not going to allow them to be integrated into the airspace system until it's safe to do so. And I asked him about certification of these drones. We expect our aircraft to be certified, to be approved, to have a system that certifies that they're safe to be there. And I asked him how that was going to be the case for drones. For UAS, unmanned aerial systems. And he said that he didn't know. And, I mean, that's where we're at with this. The timetable for adoption is so fast that there are some fundamental questions about it. The second fundamental question is, how are they going to know where we are? And if they can tell where we are, as pilots flying general aviation airplanes are, what are they going to do about it? Are they going to be able to avoid us if they can see us? It's something that is really cause for alarm for us. I mean, there's enough risk with mid-air collisions now that we spend a lot of money on traffic systems, and it would be nice to know at least what the plan is for these drones, where they're going to be, how we're going to see them, how they're going to see us. I don't think any of that is defined at this point.
Tom Haynes?
That's a huge conundrum. I think that, first of all, we could bury our heads in the sand and say, and put up a barrier, try to really fight this, that it's, unacceptable, and that's not going to work, because there are many powerful forces at work that really want these things, and there are benefits to them. Certainly, they can do a lot of good things. But AOPA's position on it hasn't changed, and I don't see a change. We've got people working on this all the time, is that the only way that we could in any way support them being involved in the national airspace system is when they can sense other aircraft the same way that pilots can sense other aircraft and take avoidance measures. So we haven't changed our policy on that, and I don't see us doing that. So I think the industry is a long ways but from getting to that point. On the other hand, what we also don't want is for us to say we won't have them in the national airspace system, and so the agencies are somehow successful in getting big chunks of special use airspace put in place to accommodate drones over large chunks of areas that were currently are available to us to fly, and that is their solution is, okay, well, fine, we won't put them in the National Airspace System, we'll put them in this isolation inside this sterile airspace, and guess what, you guys go around it now. So that's the alternative, and obviously not a good alternative either. So I think it's up to the drone manufacturers, the industry, to really work on the technology side, and whether ADS-B has some potential to help solve that. I think if every aircraft in the sky was a participant in ADS-B out, that would go a long ways toward that. But, you know, that mandate doesn't even go into 2020, and even then there are ways that pilots could choose not to participate depending on the type of airspace that they want to fly in. So 180 days, I think, is completely unrealistic. I don't see it happening.
So is there a way for the public to be involved in this conversation? Or is it not subject to public comment at this point?
Well, I believe it's a mandate as part of the FAA funding bill. These have happened in the past. There were mandates for the collision avoidance system on airlines. That came from Congress. The ground prox warning system for airlines also came from Congress. And despite the mandate, it still took time for the technology to develop. I think that's going to happen here, is that there will be convincing reasons why it cannot be done this quickly. And of course, the FAA can allow very low flying. Many of these drones are only going to operate at literally a few feet or a few hundred feet, and quite small. So they would be largely in the category of, say, a radio control model airplane, which is a potential risk to full-size airplanes, but it's something we've managed very well over the years. And I think the introduction from the bottom up, as it were, altitude structure can be managed quite successfully while we then figure out ways to have these larger, faster, higher flying airplanes in the system.
Yeah, Mac is right. At first, it's going to be mostly these very small drones, and operating in airspace, that's not going to be a major threat to general aviation aircraft. But as time goes on, and you know, and Mac is right also, that there are a lot of different agencies who are just dying to get their hands on these things, because they're going to be able to do things with them that they can't do now. They're going to be able to do the things they're doing now much more cost effectively and over longer durations. So the drones are, it's a popular proposal, not only because the manufacturers are going to make money selling these, but because all these agencies really want these things too. So we have more time than just a few months to make this happen, but we're going to have to come up with ways that we can integrate these larger drones into the airspace system, because they're going to be there. We will need to share the airspace. Tom's exactly right. We can't put our heads in sand and pretend these things are going to go away. It's going to be a part of our future. We have to figure out the best way to manage it safely so we can achieve an equivalent level of safety or better than what we have today.
Do you think the industry will be lining up en masse on one side, and everybody who actually is in the plane they fly kind of lining up on the other side as this conflict evolves?
I'm talking about the drone manufacturers,
yeah,
versus
right.
those
right.
of us who fly.
Yep.
Well, in some cases, they're actually the same companies, so that would be kind of interesting. See where Boeing stands on that, for example. So I think longer term, I think the last thing we want to happen actually would be some kind of that for them to meet the 180 day requirement, because probably what we'd end up with would be something that wasn't very workable. But I think we're going to be sort of tiptoeing our way into it, as Robert said, with aircraft that are operating, drones that are operating at relatively low altitude, and with maybe some restrictions about how close they can be to airports and that sort of thing, and get some experience with it. The other thing is just some guidance on who it is can own and launch and operate these things. I mean, do we need a registration process like we've got for aircraft? I mean, do you want every sheriff's department, every fire department, which could do some great things with heat sensing drones over, you know, buildings and trying to figure out, you know, hotspots inside a large burning building or something like that could be really helpful. But are the people really trained to understand not only how to operate the drone, but also the potential impact that might have on aircraft and nearby airspace?
And not to mention the people who live underneath the airspace that these drones are flying into. That's a real concern. And we talk, as pilots, we always think about the risk to ourselves, but the risk to the folks on the ground will be increased with the operation of these drones. They're going to be operating predominantly over populated areas.
So I can feel good about the fact that maybe if everything works right, these drones can maybe help save somebody from a burning building or decrease the risk of damage to property. what other kinds of things can I dwell upon and meditate on that will make me feel better about unmanned aerial vehicles above my head?
Well, sure.
Besides looking in my bedroom window.
Right, exactly. All sorts of mapping activity, of course, public safety, traffic management. We've, in many areas of the country, installed fixed cameras, which help a little, but imagine a drone that could be roving over a crowded highway and sending back real-time information would be one of the lowest cost ways so far to get useful information to we as a driver in this case. So the uses are almost endless, and it's like any other technology that gathers information. We do need to be careful to make sure that it's not abused, and that's true of all sorts of data gathering.
Yeah, I think agriculture is another big one, where moisture sensing, crop damage detection, all those sorts of things.
Pipeline inspection, or does that still need to be done by the eyeball?
There are certainly opportunities for unmanned aircraft to take on some of that, too.
And also, there are a number of different kinds of applications for this technology that are positive, that are going to be able to be done by unmanned systems, that will really free people from having to do hazardous kinds of flying, or really very tedious kinds of flying, too.